Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, we start our second hour as we take you all the way to 6 o'clock, and then at the top of the hour, it's NCAA basketball as March Madness will continue. Trent, you and I cannot wait for the games tonight.
No, let's wait a little longer. How about they push it back to Sunday? Of course we can't wait, Jimmy.
What? Can't wait tonight. Let's go. Let's get this thing underway. Let's play right now.
Well, we're an hour away from it, Jimmy B, and we got a lot to get into here in our first segment. We got Ken Silverstein stopping by as well this hour. But here on the local level, let's start with the news of the day. Nico Medved has taken the job at Colorado State. He moves on, and for the second year in a row, Drake is looking for a new men's basketball coach. On the decision to leave, it's difficult to get after the guy. He's going to make a lot more money. He's going to be at a place that has proven to be able to be more successful than what we've seen, certainly at Drake over, I don't know, the last 45 years or so. An easier place to win, a better conference, more money, all those different things. Yet, leaving after 1 year, after all the things that you say a year ago, do you lose any respect for Nico Medved, even just a smidge? And I like Nico. I think he's a good guy. Yeah. But leaving after 1 year, I can understand how that can put a bad taste in people's mouths.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, they think they've been hosed here. And from the fan base, they have. But
fan base aside, Jimmy B.
The perspective, what's that?
Put the fan base aside. Not a fan. Just in general. Just you. Yes, I have not lost
any respect for him at all. No, because I understand the business, Trent. You understand the business as well. Look, he's a young guy trying to climb the ladder, make his mark. The only way that you really make more money in your life is to change jobs for the most part, particularly in coaching. And so he jumps now from Drake to Fort Collins and Colorado State, higher profile, and a bigger fan base and more money. And he knows it because he was an assistant there for a few years. So I from understanding, if a guy walked in tomorrow from WABC in New York City and said, "Trent Condon, we've been listening to the show. That Brinson guy really sucks, but you are awesome. We want you on the air Monday morning at WABC. You're going to come in and tell me on Friday it would be. I'm out of here. Was nice hanging with you, but they say you suck, and I think you suck. And so I'm gone, and I'm going to make my 500 grand a year at WABC. And I wouldn't think badly of you at all. And it's the same way that I understand the coaching business. From a professional standpoint, I get it. And from that aspect, if that's the aspect you're asking me, I have not lost any respect for Nico Medved at all.
Gotcha. I understand what you're saying. Yep, definitely get what you're doing there. I get where you're going. It just, I get it. I get it's the business. I understand what it is. It just, it leaves a sour taste in your mouth after you're saying all these things. I get it. You got to say it, right? Yeah. You got to say those things.
Yes, you have to.
But it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't know. And
Trent, Nico couldn't come in and say, "Hey, I'm only going to be here a year and then I'm blowing down." He can't say that.
Right.
You can't say that.
Oh, you're right. I don't know.
I'm with you.
I like Nico, and I think he's going to do a good job at Colorado State, and I thought he was going to do a good job here, but that's in the past now. Now it's looking forward, and when you look forward, what's next now for Drake? A new athletic director, a school president that went through it a year ago for the first time in Marty Martin, Brian Harden, the new AD there.
Right.
A basketball program that, I mean, we're celebrating a team that lost 17 games this year, Jimmy B.
Correct.
I mean, we're celebrating a team that lost 17 games. That's how bad this basketball program has been for a long, long time. a celebration to be, hey, we're not seventh place or worse in our conference. That's what it is. And now, last year, they had five seniors that you could build around, whoever came in, and it proved to be Nico Medved. That's not going to be there. Is the candidates this season worse than what they had a year ago, or better, because at least Medved a year ago showed, hey, you can win there?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if one season, and coaches will look at it analytically and say, well, he had all those seniors, and he had a stud player in Reed Timmer. So that gave him a great opportunity. This time, Trent, it's a total rebuild. And recruits now who have said, yes, that you're going to have to convince to still come. And my guess is some of them will then say no. So, man, oh, man, that's tough. I think it has turned into an extremely, even more difficult job than what Medved inherited when he got it, just because of the type of players that have left that team. I think that's going to be the biggest thing that assistant coaches who will look at it and say, man, they got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just young guys out of high school coming in, and can I still convince them to come? Are they even going to like me?
Right.
Or are they going to tell me when I walk into the living room, no, dude, no, you're not the guy. I'm out. So
here's the roster right
that's
now.
That's tough.
Here's the roster. We saw two true freshmen play quite a bit this year, in Jalen Gibbs mm-hmm. and Noah Thomas. I like both those guys. I thought they both showed glimpses. At the very least, they can turn into nice MVC players. You got Nick McGlynn, who was a starter all year, who played very well. He's back for his senior year. Kensling, the 6'11 guy from Dunkerton, he'll be a senior. Schlatter will be a senior as well. Golson, a sophomore, who I don't know much about at all. Pilipovic, a guy from Germany. I don't know that name a whole lot. And then Sam Jones, who saw a little bit of time. But, you know, overall, there's a lot of scholarships open there, Jimmy B.
Yeah.
It's a blank slate. It's a wide open slate here that whatever coach comes in. So let's throw out some names. I mentioned at the top, Keno Davis. You know, that one's been bandied about. Bring him home 10 years later. I got a couple others, though, I want to throw your way. First of all, two guys from the state of Iowa who played in the state of Iowa, highly successful, now D1 assistants. Jeff Horner, who coached at West Des Moines Valley as well, who's up in North Dakota right now. And Dean Oliver, another guy from Mason City, who's now at Wisconsin, was at North Dakota, then Illinois State, now at Wisconsin. A deeper resume, a deeper professional resume for Dean Oliver as well. A couple of names with Hawkeye ties, but state of Iowa ties. How about Matt Woodley, a guy that has wanted the job, Drake's his alma mater. He was at Pitt this year with Kevin Stallings, but Matt Woodley, I think, makes a lot of sense, not only because he went to Drake, but remember, he's a Valley kid who also went to West Des Moines Valley. Brian Harden, the new AD. They were in high school at the same time, Jimmy B. Seems too easy, right? Matt Woodley's the next head coach.
You made it sound easy.
Yeah, it's easy.
Refresh my memory. Did Nico Medved have ties to Des Moines or the state?
No, just Minnesota. Went to Minnesota, Minneapolis kid. So it was more of a Midwest tie as opposed to an Iowa tie.
Okay. All right. Which tells you right there that they really don't have to have a real tie to Des Moines or the state of Iowa. So,
but I think a Midwest tie is important. I do.
I think somebody in the Midwest, or who at least coached in the Midwest understands that mentality. Yes, I'm with you on that. I know where you're going here with local names. What about, not Craig Bull. He's the football coach. The basketball coach at South Dakota.
Craig Smith.
It's Craig Smith. Thank you. Is he back in it?
Oh, after he basically screwed Drake a year ago, you wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
But again, Sandy Hatfield Club isn't there anymore. So maybe that could be a name that happens again. Craig Smith also involved for that Colorado State job. But yeah, I could see a possibility of that happening. But Marty Martin was there a year ago. he was kind of, I might cross that one off the list. All right, I'm going to go completely off the board. You ready?
Okay.
I'm going wild and crazy here. Jim, two nights ago, what were we watching on Watch ESPN, ESPN3?
Oh, we were watching the NAIA Graceland. Oh!
Craig Doty! Craig Doty! It's a leak.
Your
right?
next coach at Drake?
Hey, he started up at the D3 level, junior college, at a place called Rock Valley. I don't know what Rock Valley is, but it's a school. And he did a very good job. He he made them from the worst team, took them to the national championship tournament, did an outstanding job there. Then comes to Graceland, wins a national title in their first ever appearance in the national tournament, and did it at Graceland. The guy can coach. I think we see that, right? He can coach.
Yes.
He's a Midwest guy. He went to Morningside in Sioux City from South Dakota, has the connections that you're looking for. Midwest understands these things. I don't think he's going to be at the forefront of anything, but there's probably worse places to go than Craig Doty. The guy showed he win, and hey, I've seen him coach for about 7 minutes of actual game action, but I told you, I was going off the wall with that one.
Yes. Yeah, well, look, that's not a bad off-the-wall pick. That is one of those you throw it up against the wall to see if it'll stick, and that one might stick a little bit. I don't think they'll drop down to an NAIA level to grab somebody, but it's worth a phone call, don't you think? Worth a phone call just to see. I'm a person, when you're interviewing people, I talk to as many people as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
I never try to close the doors off and say, well, no, this guy, he doesn't have any ties here, and this guy over here, he's working in a big program, so he'll have no, no, I never do that. I think you should talk to as many people as you possibly can, and then start to formulate your opinions, and then narrow your scope, and then lock in on about three or four people, and then that's who you make your determination from.
Let's get out to the phone lines. We got Nathan on the line with us. He wants to talk about the Drake job. What's going on, Nathan? Hello, Nathan.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Doing well. How about yourself? What do you got for us?
Let me tell you why this has to be Matt Woodley. This is a no-brainer. Don't overthink this. This has to be Matt Woodley's job. Okay? Not only everything you said, Trent, add to that, don't forget that Pittsburgh, most of their kids just asked for their release. Mm. He can bring some of those kids with him.
Mm.
He's a guy who wants the job. He's an Iowa guy. He's a guy who learned under Bennett over in Washington State. When he was at Washington State, his job was the recruiting coordinator. He had a top 25 recruiting class. This is a no-brainer. He knows what it takes to win at Drake. Bring Matty home.
I like
Bring
it.
Him home.
Nathan's got to figure it out, and I like it, Jim. I said I think this is too easy. And the fun part when we get a coaching search is that it should be difficult. For whatever reason, Sandy Hatfield Club just never took a deep look from who I've talked to Matt Woodley. It seems simple, right? A guy that has pedigree, who's coached at high levels. He's never been a head coach at the D1 level, but he's been an assistant in a power structure. He's done it at the mid-major level. He has been all kinds of different places. He's been successful. I'm with Nathan. Bring Woodley home. Come
home. Is Nathan on the payroll for Woodley there? Is he operating at his agent there?
They got enough of them, right? I mean, they're all running around town. You got the dad, Mike, who does a great job at Grandview with the football team.
Yes.
You got the brother, Brian, who's up the head coach at Johnston football. They're all over the place. They're all very good, very accomplished guys as well. I just get another Woodley back in Des Moines. There are worse things in the world, and I know the Woodley family just a little bit and knowing them from the coaching ranks. And they also grew up, they lived for a few years in Osage, Jimmy B, so got the Osage connection. Yeah, we can get a Green Devil in there. You know Green Devils do good things.
I don't even know what a Green Devil is. Is that like a Dust Devil?
No.
Okay.
Osage, our mascot, is the Green Devils, Jimmy B.
That's the Green Devils, huh?
The Green Devils, yeah. Like the Dukes, the Blue Devils. We're the Green Devils.
Yeah, Blue Devils, yeah. The Green Devils. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'll take your word for it in beautiful Osage.
That's right.
Look, I don't know who they're going to get, but with some of the names that we just threw out, those phone calls need to be made.
Mm-hmm. No, you're
and,
right. Yep.
And, yeah, and as I said, you don't just narrow your search immediately. You spread your search out. And even if it's just a phone call and the phone call lasts 5 or 6 minutes, but you gauge guys to see, A, their interest in the job,
mm-hmm.
And B, okay, what would you bring to the table? Now, you can have that conversation really within 10 minutes and then say, all right, we're going to talk again. Right. Or, all right, we're not going to talk again. Look, when it comes to interviewing people, Trent, I try to be as honest as I possibly can. I never play favorites, and if somebody is impressive to me, I tell them so, and if they're not impressive in the interview, I pretty much say, okay, thanks for coming.
I'm impressive,
you
right?
Are you kidding me? I already sent you to ABC in New York starting Monday at $500,000 a year.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks. Where do I sign? We got to sign for a break. We come back on the other side as we got Ken Silverstein. We'll get deeper into the NCAA tournament. Nathan, I agree. It's easy. Matt Woodley should be the next coach at Iowa State. Does Brian Harden agree? We will find out in the coming days and weeks. Jimmy B and TC back with more here in a moment.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Guys, Trent Condon here again for New Leaf Wellness. Warm weather is going to be here before you know it, and if you added some pounds during the winter, New Leaf Wellness can help you. Great treatment program designed specifically for you. I'm on the GAC and MIC. It has helped me not just lose weight with my energy level, no more lulls in the afternoon. Give them a call today. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation. 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358. Let's feel better together with New Leaf Wellness Centers.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We rolled all the way till 6 o'clock tonight. Time to say hello to Big Ten Conference insider Ken Silverstein. He joins us from gorgeous Cleveland right here on the Big Talker 1700. Ken, let's start with what we're going to get tonight, and that is a Michigan team that is going to have to play better, in my opinion, if they want to advance this evening. Are you down with that as well?
Yeah, but you know what? At the same time, I've seen Gonzaga now play in both of their earlier games, obviously, here in March Madness. And they had a great start against Ohio State over the weekend. They jumped out, 15-0 and barely hung on to win. They had a nice spurt in the final couple minutes to make the game a little bit misleading. I think it was a 6-point game, if my memory serves me correctly. But for basically outside of the 15-0 run, and then maybe the final 3 minutes, they were pretty much beaten by Ohio State. Well, they do advance. They didn't play real, real well in their opener. So, I don't know. I think Michigan's got a pretty good shot. This is not, I think, the best Gonzaga team that I've seen over the last few years. And obviously Michigan is well tested, as Gonzaga is. They're both NCAA tested, over the last 17 years. But I give Michigan a better than 50-50 chance of getting out of this round. But you're right. If they play like they did in the last outing, no, they're not going to win. But if they play like I'm expecting they're going to play, I think they can advance. It won't be a blowout, but I think they can win.
Well, before they see Gonzaga, though, they got to get by A&M, who played incredibly well in their win against North Carolina. So before they even see the Zags, and the Zags got to get by Florida State, it's Texas A&M, and they provide just a host of problems. That front line, who has a lot of talent themselves, Wagner, he's going to need some help up front against A&M.
Yeah, no, he will, and that's the key guy for Michigan. He's got to shoot the ball well. He's got to have a good overall game, and he can't disappear for stretches. Which he has been known to do for the most part throughout his short career, let's say, at Michigan. So the long and the short is that, you know, when you look at these brackets and the thing, it's like a grenade got thrown on mine. I don't know about you guys. I mean, it's not even hard to read it from across from one line to the other without misreading it, because it doesn't flow the way you expected it to flow. And even before, and I've been saying it for weeks and months, that this thing was wide open because the blue bloods are not as good as they have been for the most part over X amount of years. It's still that Loyola Chicago is in the Sweet 16, that Nevada is in the Sweet 16. You could have made a lot of money, picking those teams, one or both, to be in the Sweet 16, and obviously they are.
Ken Silverstein is our guest. Okay, take me now to Purdue. They won't play until tomorrow night, and they get Texas Tech. The Isaac Haas situation, can he practice today with a brace on that was done by the great engineering department at the university by the students? But right now, it appears that he still will not play in tomorrow night's game. How does that change for Purdue and their matchup against that big front line as well of Texas Tech?
Yeah, I like Tech. I just think they have played really, really well this year. This is not a school with a major, major basketball history per se. Not that their football program has had a ton of success, a lot of yards when Coach Dykes was there. Now, the coach that followed obviously has gained a lot of yards likewise offensively, but they're not winning 10, 11, 12 games a year. In football and basketball, they've been down for a real, real long time. It's a tough place to recruit. It's Lubbock, Texas. It's not exactly, the Mecca. It's not San Diego weather-wise. I'll leave it at that. And, so it's not an easy place to recruit, but they've done a nice job with this squad. And yeah, because of the injury, and the way Tech has played this year, I think Tech is going to advance. Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be a blowout. There shouldn't be blowouts in these type of matchups. But for whatever reason, I just think Tech's on that kind of year. This is something that doesn't happen every year for Texas Tech. So I'm going to go with what I think is the hotter club. And I think the hotter of the two would be Tech. So I think the Red Raiders will advance. Wow, to the Elite Eight. Texas Tech in the Elite Eight. That's mind-boggling in its own right.
Never happened before. Texas Tech has not made it to the regional final, and a chance for that with a win against Purdue. A look back, Ken, as you were here on Wednesday talking with Jimmy B before the brackets broke. Syracuse plays Duke, and the reason we don't get that Duke-Michigan State matchup is because of the upset win from the Orange. Michigan State. Ton of talent this year. Izzo, you're Bobo. You guys go way back, and you have a love affair.
We're married. Yes, our love affair, yes.
That,
I'm not filing divorce papers, but I'm not sending him a birthday gift. I can tell you that.
Oh, just, Ken, this team is so talented. I know Miles Bridges at the next level. He's going to be a small forward. He's going to be a three. He'll be a swing guy. But in the collegiate game, you put him at the four, you put Jackson at the five, and stop dinking around with all these other lineup combinations. Izzo, did he outthink himself? Did he maybe promise something to Bridges to get him to come back? Because it just doesn't make a lick of sense losing to a bad Syracuse team like that.
Yeah, and you're right on, Trent. This is not a great Syracuse team. Now, where we were talking about Texas Tech with no basketball tradition, it's the opposite when you're talking Syracuse. I'm going to date myself. Syracuse's tradition goes all the way back. Jimmy B, you remember this name. Dave Bing, okay?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Syracuse has been a power. Most people think, wow, Syracuse, they think of Carmelo, okay? Or they think of Horace Coleman, okay? And others that just produced Pearl Washington. On and on and on and on and on and on and on. Okay, this is not a great, not even close, Syracuse team. So now we fast forward to Michigan State. How in the hoot, with two guys that are going to be lottery picks, do you not at least get deeper in the tournament? He is getting right now, yeah, he is. He's getting the best players in the Big Ten. Okay, you could make an argument who's second, but I don't think anybody's going to dispute that Michigan State, not in football, but in basketball, they get the best players, okay? And in some years, it's not even that close. And yet somehow, it's been, I mean, go back to the Northwestern game back near the end of the year. Remember that Saturday game off campus, not in Evanston, but at the, what do they call that place, the Allstate Center, near the airport at, near O'Hare. Okay. They were being run out of the building. They were down by, what was it, Trent, Jim? I think it was like 20-plus points, if my memory serves me correctly.
28, I think. 28 they were down in the first half.
Now, granted, they came back and won. And, kudos. It's a great comeback, one of the greatest comebacks you're going to see. But there's no reason on this planet that Michigan State should be down by that many to any Northwest squad, okay? And there have been just periods this year, and we've talked about it, I've mentioned it more than once, where there'd be 5 minutes, 8 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever. They lost to Ohio State in Columbus this year in a blowout. They got better talent than Ohio State. Not in football, they don't. Okay? It's not even that close. But in basketball, they do. And Izzo deserves blame here. Whether the kids were tuning him out, whether he was fooling around with too many lineups, or a combination of both, or there's another factor that I can't come up with on this Thursday afternoon. Bottom line, they still should be playing. You have two guys who are going to be top. Jackson's going to be a top 10 pick, and Bridges is going to be a top 15 pick. And nobody else has got that in the Big Ten. And yet they're knocked out. Most years I say Izzo does an elite job. Not this year. Now, some are going to say, and I'm going to mention this, that all the issues, the Nassar affair, and everything that goes with it, with the football program, and likewise the basketball program, and all the investigations, and all that goes with it, how much of that was a distraction? How much did it affect this year's squad? I don't know. And I don't know if we're ever going to know. But I think I can at least mention that it's a viable possibility that huge multifaceted issue, without going into all the gory details about it, we don't need to do that on a Thursday afternoon. I think everybody's aware of what we're talking about. The bottom line is, I wonder if that was a factor. If it was, just how much?
Ken Silverstein is our guest here on the Big Talker 1700. Ken, last night in the NBA, it was the premier game, and it was played in Cleveland, and you were there. So it is the Fighting LeBrons of Cleveland against the Toronto Raptors, the number one team in the East, Toronto Raptors. And it did not disappoint. And is it time again where LeBron James and Cleveland make a statement game? Remember last year when about a month left in the season and Boston was running away with the first place and they went into Boston and just destroyed them, beat them by 20 or something like that at the Garden? Statement game, and LeBron said afterwards, hey, you know, don't be counting us out. Was this the same sort of feeling or not?
Well, I came up in the post game with interim coach Larry Drew, and this has been a very weird season. Ty Lue is out because of medical reasons. Don't know when he's going to come back. Talk last night was that he'd be back by the end of the season. We shall see. Let me mention, because I know he's important to your audience, Kyle Korver's brother passed away the other day. Condolences to Kyle and the Korver family and associated friends and so forth. He is not with the club. Not sure when he is going to be back. My guess is Sunday in Brooklyn, but I don't know that at this point because he's got a lot on his docket with the death of his younger brother. So again, condolences. So he wasn't there last night. They have a couple other guys. Rodney Hood's hurt. Tristan Thompson's hurt. C.D. Osman is hurt. Okay. So they were shorthanded last night. Now granted, they were home, so that does even that a little bit. It had a playoff feel to it, particularly late third quarter. I think J.R. Smith hit a three-pointer, if I'm not mistaken, but a couple seconds ago, the end of the third, got him within one, if my memory serves me correctly. And in the fourth quarter, it had a playoff feel to it. Toronto knows and Cleveland knows that to get to Golden State or possibly Houston, that Toronto's going to have to most likely beat Cleveland, and the Cavaliers are most likely going to have to beat Toronto. Now, history tells you that the Cavaliers have manhandled the Raptors the last couple of years in the playoffs. So they know that from their side of the street. From Toronto's standpoint, they also know that they haven't been able to beat the Cavaliers. And a lot of it is LeBron James. Some of it is Kevin Love. He's been a problem again last night. Form hit the big three-pointer with a couple minutes to go from the right corner on a pass from LeBron. So if Toronto's going to do it, this is the year to do it, okay? If they're ever going to do it, this is the year to do it. But even though I think Toronto's a better team than the Cavaliers, I'm going to do the Missouri thing. I'm going to do the show-me thing. And until I see it with my own peepers, I think the Cavaliers still have a shot of beating them. But if you just go with whom I think is the better team right now, I still think Toronto's a better team. But in the postseason, assuming they do meet each other, and we'll assume for this conversation they will, it will be one hell of a series. I don't know if it'll be better than Golden State and Houston in a potential Western Conference final. But if it's Houston and, or excuse me, if it's Cleveland and Toronto, not bad. Get the popcorn, prop up the feet, get a cold one. It's going to be one hell of a ride when the Raptors and the Cavaliers, potentially, we shall see, if they both advance and meet each other. I guess this would be year three in a row that they would meet each other.
Ken, 10 to 12 games left, depending on the team remaining in the schedule. Cleveland, with that win, they maintain the number three seed, but just two games away from falling all the way down to the sixth seed. Does it matter, though, for Cleveland and for the fighting LeBrons, because just it's LeBron James? Does home court in the opening round matter that much to them, or is it just basically a factor of where they're going to start out the series, you know they're going to advance on?
Well, I think in a perfect world they'd like to hold on to three, but I don't think they're going to kill themselves by doing so. I think they'll be smart about it. I think at this point, they feel over the last couple years that they are more than tested, and if they have to win a game seven on the road or whatever the clinching game may be, or just win one game in a series on the road to be the difference in winning a series than advancing, yeah, I don't think they lack confidence there. They knocked out Boston last year. Let me think about this. They knocked out Boston last year in Boston. They knocked out, I want to say, Toronto. Yeah, they knocked out Toronto last year, if my memory serves correctly, in Toronto. So, no, they're not intimidated by that, but there's a disclaimer. In a perfect world, they'd like to hold on to number three if they can. It just makes it easier.
So we're having a conversation with Ken Silverstein right now. So in the NBA, there was an awful lot of talk about changing the way that the last couple of teams would have a chance to get in, like they would have a play-in game. LeBron was asked that question, and his response was, "That's whack." In other words, he thinks that's disgusting because you play an 82-game season, and then you got to have a play-in game against maybe somebody who has a worse record than you. Where are you on that? Do you think that makes any sense, or does it really matter in the grand scheme of things?
Must have been a slow day at whomever was floating this, whether it was the commish or whomever. Yeah, I would not do it. Now, look, the thing that's amazing about the NBA postseason, okay, is that if you look at it in the number of days potentially, and if you look at it in the number of months that it takes, the regular season ends, I want to say, on April 11th, which I think is a Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. You could check on that. I think it's April 11th. The postseason, if it went seven games, and I'm going to be off by a couple of days here because I haven't looked exactly, would end sometime like mid-June. We'll say mid-June-ish. The key there is ISH-ish. Yeah. Okay? So we're looking at from basically, let's see, the playoffs would begin that weekend, Wednesday the 11th, Thursday the 12th, 13th, Friday. So the playoffs would begin on Saturday, April 14th, okay, and would run through at least most likely June 15-ish, maybe a couple days after, maybe a day or two before, but in that ballpark. We're talking about an 8 to 8.5, almost 9-week postseason. Aye, 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 aye. I mean, it's almost the length of a college football regular season. I mean, if you think about it, it would be all of September, all of October, and basically a week into November-ish. Okay? Think of it that way. Or if you look at it from a college basketball season, whenever a team starts, prorated 2.5 months into the season, and then look at where you are on the calendar and go, oh my goodness, look how deep into the year we are already. That's how long the postseason. If I was to change something, I would get rid of one of these rounds. Okay? There's just too many rounds. It just takes too long. Okay? I mean, you're on this beat for like 2 months. If your team goes to the finals, you start in mid-April, and you don't finish until roughly mid-June-ish. It's unbelievable. It's too long, but it's done because obviously the owners want the money, and the TV network want those TV spots that they're charging X amount of dollars for per 60, per 30, per 10.
Good stuff. Hey, Ken, as always, appreciate your time. We will do it again next week.
Look forward to it. See you next Thursday, guys.
That's Ken Silverstein checking in with us. And Jimmy B, your thoughts?
Yeah.
I personally am a fan of the idea of having some kind of tournament to get that the last seed maybe in each conference, something like that. I think it would add a little more excitement and intrigue. That's me. You know, say the top six, maybe even seven seeds in each conference. They're good. And then you just have a one-and-done elimination-style tournament. I think that's the best idea that I've heard. How about you?
I'm kind of siding with you, and then I'm not siding with you. I'm siding with you because there are teams that are out west that will not make the playoffs, but yet will have a winning record and a good winning record. And I would like to see maybe one of those teams like get a chance in a playoff game because they're probably pretty good against an East team that maybe is not very good. But yet, on the other hand, I get after you've played 82, and look, I know what baseball does after 162, but that's their format, and it's not eight teams that make the playoffs. Like, they don't play like that in baseball. So I get the one and done for Major League Baseball, and that is exciting. I don't know. Maybe it would work. I don't know, Trent. Do you feel like if a team played its hearts out and won its last three in a row and made the playoffs as the number eight team, then would they have to play somebody else just to maintain that spot? That's what I might have an issue with. I think it's an interesting concept. Don't get me wrong. I really do.
Well, of course, because you're not going to put nine teams in the playoffs. I mean, you're going to be playing for the final spot. So, yeah, if you hold on to the eighth spot, well, all that would actually do for you was hold on to home court advantage for you. You know, where you could have the tournament be played then in their building, or if you're playing home court, however it is. You know, if you're looking at it and saying, all right, the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th place teams, four teams will do a one-and-done tournament to get in. So Milwaukee would play the Knicks, Pistons would play the Hornets, the winner of those two games would play to be the 8th seed in the East. And out west it'd be Utah going up against the Lakers, Nuggets against Clippers, winner of those two games, face off to be the 8th seed and get in. I think that's good. I think that's real good. And it adds a lot more intrigue than just coming down the stretch. And maybe you have you're scheduled against playing the Suns or the Grizzlies or somebody terrible at the end. This adds a lot more intrigue to me.
I find it interesting. I mean, look, it doesn't mean that I wouldn't watch it. You know damn well I'd be locked in on that game when it's one and done like that. Absolutely. Just have to see how the NBA, how they figure it out to see if they could really make something like that work. All right, we got to get a quick break in here, and we will do that right now. It's Jimmy B and TC right here on the Big Talker 1700.
Back one final time, putting a cap on things. We got NCAA tournament taking the airwaves right at 6 o'clock. It'll start 6:07, the opening tip with Nevada against Loyola of Chicago. Jimmy B, let's make some picks here. We got four games. Let's get into it. Quick run through of what you anticipate we're going to see. I'll give my side as well. Sister Jean against the little cutie Musselman girl. Who do you got, Loyola in Nevada?
Well, look, I'm a big Musselman fan, Eric Musselman fan, always have been. I love what Loyola is doing, but I'm going to roll with Nevada in this game tonight. So I will take the Wolfpack, Nick Fisicus, Edgar Jones, and the Wolfpack will win over the Ramblers.
This is one of my favorite picks of the night. I'm going to put a little star next to this one.
Ooh, okay.
I like Loyola.
Okay.
Now, both teams really are playing on borrowed time. Nevada should have lost to Texas. Texas let that game slip away, and then they go hot, and they don't miss a shot in overtime. But they had a battle to get through that one, and we know the 22-point deficit against Cincinnati. Loyola needed, for all intents and purposes, two buzzer beaters to make it here. So two teams playing on borrowed time. I just like the way Loyola's playing. They're going to ugly this thing up. They're going to dirty it up. And I think they're going to really frustrate Nevada this evening. I'm on the Ramblers, so we're on opposite sides in that one. The other early game, Michigan against Texas A&M. That'll be starting at about 6:30. That will be the full broadcast that we'll have here with Westwood One coverage, unless it turns into a blowout like Texas A&M did against North Carolina. Who do you got? Aggies and Wolverines. It'll be a great football game. We'll get to see it on the hardwood.
I'm really torn on this game. I know what Ken was talking about, where he said that, you know, if Mo doesn't have great Mo, for as in momentum for his team to carry them, and he hasn't really played all that well yet in the tournament. I like A&M in this game. I just think they're a sleeping giant. And look, they were really good early in the season. They went into West Virginia and pounded the Mountaineers. Then they had all those issues with player suspensions for difficulties that they have. But, man, Billy Kenny's got this thing going. And when they're going right, they're really good. So I'm going to go with A&M tonight.
I struggled with this game. I've been back and forth. I've been flip-flopping. We're making picks, so I'll make mine. Going with the Wolverines. I think just maybe the love has gone a little too far on Texas A&M. So I'll grab Michigan in this spot and go with the Wolverines. All right, let's get into the late games. Be tipping off around 9 o'clock this evening. Up on top, it will be the surprise 9-seed Kansas State Wildcats. Dean Wade looks like he is good to go.
Yep.
Against all the one-and-doners in Kentucky. Who do you got, Wildcats or Wildcats?
All right. I'm just going to take the Wildcats. That's it.
It seems like something you would do.
Yes, it would be. Look, I like Dean Wade. I've always liked that kid's game. He makes a big, big difference for K-State. But I think Kentucky has figured it out. And I think John Calipari's team matches up with K-State pretty well. And I love Knox on the perimeter, and he can take you to the basket off the dribble as well. So I'm going to roll with the Wildcats, the Kentucky Wildcats, in that game.
Okay, so you're going Kentucky. I am taking the other Wildcats as it pertains to the point spread. I'm grabbing the points
here.
Oh,
okay.
I'm grabbing
okay.
The 5.5. I do like that number, so I am going to go in that direction. But, yeah, I think in the end, Kentucky is going to win it. This is going to be a tight spot, though. I think we're going to see a good game.
Yeah.
Maybe the best game of the evening. Down to the wire, I'll take Kentucky to win, but I'm going to grab the K-State Wildcats and get the cover. All right, last game of the evening, Florida State-Gonzaga. You give the Seminoles a shot here after what they did. Look, they looked terrible for most of that game against Xavier until the last few minutes of the game they came back. That's what I keep going back to. Just Florida State, they can do some different things, and their athleticism and just how they can get out and run. Gonzaga is just a better basketball team. I'm all about the Zags here.
I am all about the Zags, and I got to ride with them because I had them going to the Final Four. So
you don't have to, Jim. Jim, I know.
Yes, I know. But you know me. I like Mark Few and what he has done there. They've got some big guys up front that match up with Florida State. I like Gonzaga to win over the Seminoles in the late game tonight.
All right, so Jimmy B has Nevada, A&M, Kentucky, and the Zags tonight. I have Loyola, Michigan, Kentucky to win, though K-State to cover, and Gonzaga also to win this evening. Enjoy it. The coverage comes your way next here on 1700 KBGG, as we'll bring you the Westwood One coverage. As a great night of basketball, we'll have it all throughout the weekend, through the Final Four, through the National Championship, all right here on your home for Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans, 1700. Have a good night, everybody.